This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A slammer for Nolan Arenado!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, you're not even close if you're thinking Tom Ackerman is here. Tom is on vacation. I'm Mike Claiborne, and I am in a vacation environment here in Jupiter, Florida, where the Cardinals train for 2025. We have a ball game coming your way just a little later, just after 12. Well, we start our pregame ceremonies around 11:50. So it'll be you and me along with a number of guests until then. As I mentioned, we are in spring training here at Roger Dean Stadium. Cardinals are currently working on some defensive fielding drills and also some base running drills as we speak. We have a nice crowd. This will be their first home game. Yesterday, we were the visitors here, and the Miami Marlins were the home team. And I have to tell you, there were more Cardinal fans here than there were Marlin fans. But that's to be expected. Cardinal fans are pretty smart about getting tickets. And they go on the Marlins site and buy their tickets, and therefore they get good seats. So today we should have a Cardinal crowd, as it is the home game. We'll see how things unfold as people are starting to fall into this area and get ready for the next 6 weeks of baseball as the Cardinals get ready for their 2025 season. A lot to talk about today, as we had a lot of people playing last night. The Cardinals, the Blues, St. Louis U, City, Mizzou, Illinois, Umsel, Webster University. I mean, everybody was playing last night. And some of them, well, didn't work out that well, but we'll talk about that a little later. Our guest today, we're going to visit with the big dog, Bernie Miklas. You hear him in the Gas House Gang here on KMOX. We'll have a chance to get his thoughts on a lot of things that are happening in sports and get his thoughts on what he is looking forward to seeing next. Josh Schertz, they won yesterday. St. Louis U won over Rhode Island. Tough matchup for St. Louis U. And St. Louis U has to really kind of win out in order to have a good seed for the conference tournament. And as you know, anytime you get into the tournament, anything can happen. We'll talk some hockey a little later. Blues started their season last night after the Four Nations tournament. We'll get into the Four Nations tournament, get your thoughts on what you think was good about it and what needs to be better. And I bring that up because everyone who's a hockey fan, their buttons are popping off their shirt because they're so happy with how things turned out. The TV numbers were exceptional. It was good-spirited play. Everything went well. And the first thing you hear people say is, all right, now here's what we have to do to fix it. Well, I don't think it's broken, to be honest with you. I thought they did it really well. And I thought one of the things that really stood out, I didn't hear one person griping about the officiating. And as you know, if you're a hockey fan, it's your birthright to be able to grouse about the officiating. But we didn't hear that. At least we didn't hear it on a large scale during the Four Nations event. So we'll talk about that. What's next for the Blues as they have their work cut out for them if they want to get into postseason play. And we'll have that working for us. 11 o'clock hour, Lutz Vandenstiel, they got off to an interesting start last night, St. Louis City, a home game. 32 degrees was game time kickoff. I don't know about you, and as I've gotten older, I'm kind of allergic to cold weather. And so I'm interested to see how soccer players, stay ready, especially the guys who are subbing. How do they stay loose? How do they stay ready when the weather can be a little bit of a distraction? So we'll have a chance to visit with Lutz about that. John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, will join us in his usual time. And we'll get his thoughts, early thoughts, on his ball club. And we'll finish out visiting with the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, who was here in spring training. And, you know, when you see the Wizard walking around, it's like royalty. He is so good, not just to the fans, but also to the younger players that he makes time for. One of the more amusing sights I saw, Thomas Ajayi, young man that people seem to feel like has a chance to be a big leaguer. And Ozzie was looking at his glove, and he said, well, how did you get your glove shaped like that? And so he said, well, I've always had it like that. So Ozzie said, well, have you ever looked at how, you know, the glove is an extension to your hand? And Ozzie was kind of showing him how to break it in differently. And you would have thought Sir JC was sitting on Santa Claus's lap because it was something he never heard about, never learned. And I guess when a gold glover is making a suggestion, that Ozzie didn't tell him this is what you have to do. But just the fact that you have a person of that nature taking the time just to help a young man be better on the next ground ball. And who knows where that takes him. So it's great to have him here. David Freese is here. And I really hope that the Cardinals get back to having more former players around because they want to help. They want to see the team do well. I mean, that's their team. But when it starts with Ozzie, and there's so many other ones that they could have involved, and hopefully that will be the case here in the next few spring trainings for sure. So we have that working for us with Ozzie. The Cardinals have game two against the Houston Astros yesterday. Pretty good game for about five innings. Let's put it this way. All the players that you expected or you were looking forward to seeing contribute to this team in 2025, they, for the most part, did their job. Now, the people who might be part of the 2027 team, well, they had a little bit of a rough afternoon. And as we've learned in spring training, these games can be really fun for about the first six or seven innings. But when you get the guys with 94 and 98 on their back and their ability to throw strikes is not as consistent, it can make for a long hour. I'm telling you, it can make for a very long hour. But we had that yesterday. Nothing to worry about. No one was hurt after the game. I'll give you the lineup here if you're interested. You can get started on your lineup as far as the Cardinals and the Astros. So Victor Scott gets a leadoff spot. He'll be in center field. Alec Burleson will be at first base with Nolan Gorman playing second base. Lucan Baker is the designated hitter. Pedro Pajes is the catcher. Thomas Ajayi, who we just talked about, will be playing third base. J.J. Weatherholt, the Cardinals' first-round pick from last year, he will be playing shortstop. And also Matt Kupierniak, who had a good throw from the outfield yesterday. This is a guy you might want to start paying a little bit more attention to, Matt Kupierniak. He'll be in left field. And we have a young man named Ryan Vlade. He will be in right field. Miles Michaelis will be on the mound for the Redbirds. So that's how things will start. And I can assure you, this is not the same lineup you'll see in the eighth inning. That's just how it works. So what we'll do now is take our first break. We'll come back. We'll talk to the big dog himself. It's always a treat to visit with Bernie Miklas. I just don't talk to him enough, and I'm going to hog up all the time when we take this break on KMOX.
KMOX.
Well, we've changed up a few things. I'm not Tom Ackerman. I'm Mike Claiborne, and we've moved the studio to Jupiter, Florida, where we're at Roger Dean Stadium. And we're going to go to the guest line, and standing by is one of my favorite people. I don't see him enough, but I always think about him, and it's always great to have Bernie Miklas on KMOX. Bernie, good morning, sir.
Claves, what a pleasure it is to be able to talk to you, even if it's on the air, and you'll be seeing me around Busch Stadium more in 2025. I got to quit being a hermit, and one of the reasons is to come be able to make sure I say hello to you and Mr. Rooney and Mr. Horton.
Well, you know, you and I are kind of like the last of the Mohegans around here, so we do need to spend some quality time together.
That's right. You know,
we have to do that.
I miss out on spring training. You know, I haven't gone to spring training for a while. That's okay because I got so many other things I have to do. I couldn't really afford to be down there for long. But one of my, just so everybody knows, one of my joys in life, and this applies every St. Louis media person who's had the good fortune to be invited to dinner by Mike Claiborne in spring training. You know, this must be the way it was like with Sinatra and those guys, with like some of the best restaurants in town. You know, it's like, hey, Mr. Claiborne, yeah, right here. Party of four? No, I got six. Oh, okay, six. That's fine.
Don't worry
whatever
about
you
it.
Need,
yeah, we'll
Mr.
make him
Claiborne.
Get up. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. I was taking somebody to dinner recently. This is year 40 of spring training. Now, I've been in the business a little longer, but this is 40. And you start thinking about all the people. And you and I used to have some classic dinners. And it wasn't always about the games. It was about life and people and family and friends and everything else that goes on in the world. And I think that's one of the neat things about spring training that doesn't get enough credit for why we enjoy being here other than the weather and watching guys develop to get ready for the season.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm gonna throw you a compliment here, so people might be getting sick of me praising you, whatever. But you know, the one thing about you, you've always been this way with me, and you've been a tremendous help. Is when me being the hotshot columnist or the guy, you know, talking on the radio or whatever, you know, you have on many occasions said, you know, you need to rethink this. You know, you didn't do anything wrong, but you should rethink this. There's some stuff here and there and here and there. You always get me to check my conscience, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you saying it. Now, if I can get somebody to check mine, we'd be on the right path here.
I'm the one that's off
the rails here these days. Hey, you know, this is an interesting time for us in sports, people who cover it, people who support these teams. You know, when you look at yesterday and everyone that was playing, and, you know, they all kind of mirror each other with regard to redevelopment, reloading, and trying to move to that next step where they can get back on a basis where what we've been expecting and what we've always accepted as far as competition and winning. And I find it fascinating because in all the years, Bernie, I don't think we've ever seen this many teams, whether it's college or pro, going through the same process at the same time.
Yeah, and it's I think the shock in St. Louis is that number one, it's so personal because there's such a strong allegiance to the Cardinals. Even if people are upset about something and they're not going to buy as many tickets, there's still a huge, tremendous amount of interest in the team, and people's passions are on the line. So I think in a market like St. Louis in particular, you know, this is like a strange experience because by and large, Cardinals fans have not had to go through this very often, at least not since Bill DeWitt bought the team and before the 96 season. As for other places, and with baseball, a lot of it, the system is that it enables owners of quite a few teams, unfortunately, to kind of basically sit it out competitively while they're also taking money from their partners, revenue sharing. And so that bothers me more than anything that the Dodgers are spending. The fact that you have owners that could actually be really who take, for example, the Pittsburgh Pirates have an excellent starting rotation. Excellent.
Yep.
And yet they've done nothing to make that team better in the offseason. So if you're not going to get beyond your comfort level to spend and because to take advantage of this window you have with those great young starters and, you know, Skeens and all the rest. See, that's what's wrong with baseball. It isn't the Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? That's what's and you can apply this to other sports, but the other sports, you know, at least, you know, in football.
Well, the salary cap makes you accountable.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you don't hire the right people, well, that's your fault. And if you can't find a quarterback, that's your fault. So, yeah, I think the other sports kind of police themselves, or the system polices everybody.
No, I think you make a great point. And it's somewhat of a head scratcher for baseball. And, you know, I look at this team as they take batting practice. And I know some people would feel like, well, they're not committed. They've scaled back. I think what they've done, from what I see a lot more people working with people. There's a lot more investment in development than would show you know, if you hit spring training, you can kind of see it. Like, this is a little different than what we've been accustomed to. And there are multiple ways you can reinvest in your team without going out and overpaying for a free agent. And well, I'm of the belief that if that situation comes about, if they're competing down the stretch, don't think that they won't go out and get someone if they think they if that's going to get them over the hump, because you can't miss out on that opportunity no matter what your plan is. You have to try. And I think we're going to still see that, and I think the effort that we're going to see from this team, because they're young guys who are getting an opportunity for the first time, they're going to give you everything they have. And so I'm not worried about that. I'm appreciative of the fact that I'm seeing the reinvestment of their money compared to some other cities who just put the money in their pocket.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. And, of course, I'm not surprised to hear you say that, because you know what's up. Listen, I'm not popular with a certain segment of Cardinals fans, and I don't know what kind of percentage we're talking about. But listen, I spent all of last season basically saying, listen, let me tell you that this is going on, that's going on. They don't have a full-time catching instructor. They don't have the technology. They don't have the facilities. It's kind of underfunded and understaffed. And I would bang the drum on that, because I would point out over and over again, one of the things that I've respected so much about Bill DeWitt is because he was ahead of the game with all of that stuff. And that's one of the reasons why they were such a huge winner for a long time. And I'm surprised that it lapsed. But I kept pounding the table, so to speak, saying, listen, they have got to fix the minor league system, the analytics department, player development, have everything these kids need to be major league ready to the max, as much as you can get them ready. And so when they finally did it, I was thrilled. I was happy. I think it's a huge, huge thing. And I don't think enough people understand what a big deal this is, because they can't see it. See, you can see it. You can see the work being done. You can see all these new coaches and instructors, and you're like, well, gosh, they really did bring in a lot of people. But that's tough for fans. So I'm not blaming fans, because they don't see what's happening other than what's on the major league field, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think they'll see it with the results down the road. But
right,
this team will be better than maybe what some people think. You know, I'll remind people, you know, they did finish in second place last year. Now, obviously, second place is not where they wanted to finish as far as the standings were concerned. But it wasn't like it was a terrible season. We saw the development of certain players. We saw Mason Wynn. We saw Ryan Helsley really come to the forefront, and some other people. And I really think they're going to be better. They have enough pitching right now. And now I say that on February 23rd.
Sure.
As we know, July 23rd, I may be saying to you, Bernie, we need some pitching, because that's just how the business works. But I think overall, I like the direction. It's early, and some guys have to play through this and make sure they justify their existence. But overall, I would just say to people, give it a shot and see what happens.
Well, there's a lot. Your point about, you know, the energy and the hungriness in camp is spot on. And that applies to the older guys, too. Contreras is learning a new position. He knows that people are skeptical of that. He's doing everything he can to be a decent, solid, good first baseman. He's got something to prove. Sonny Gray, he was good last year, but he knows he wasn't at his best. He knows that there's another level. He knows he can't allow home runs the way he did last year. He knows he's got to pitch better on the road. He's hungry. He's determined to prove, you didn't see my best. I can't think of a guy anywhere in Jupiter, Florida right now that probably is more determined to prove that he still is the type of offensive player that can do a lot of damage. And then last year was an aberration, talking about Nolan Arenado. And then you have all these kids that are competing for playing time, and they also know they got a lot to prove. And I think that everybody down there collectively is really fired up about the challenge. Does this mean they're going to win 90 games? No. I don't know what they're going to win, because it's like everything else. You mentioned the pitching, and let me throw this in real quick. If the bullpen is not good, well, everything's going to fall apart, because the bullpen saved that team. That's why they won as many games as the Chicago Cubs last year. And it's why they won as many games as the 2006 Cardinals did in the regular season. But if the bullpen, if the levee breaks, then it's going to be a tough season. So that's one area of concern. Because we all know that certain hitters got to step it up, and we can say that a million times. But I also think maybe the bullpen holds the key to everything, as long as some more offense is produced.
I couldn't agree with you more, man. It'll be an interesting year. And reason it'll be an interesting year because I am going to connect with you and we will hang out. And I have a couple of new spots that we can go and chop it up.
I look forward to it very much. Wonderful being with you even for a few minutes today. Thank you, Mike.
All right. He's Bernie Miklas. I'm Mike Claiborne. You can hear Bernie with the Gas House Gang every day on KMOX. We're going to take a break. St. Louis U was in action last night, and there is good news to report about the Billikens.
Isaiah, high post pass, top of the key, Avila. Turns, gives it to Jimerson. Hard sprint, turnaround three. Bang, got it. Jimerson.
He just got full right sprint underneath the basket and just made a full sprint to the head of the key, and here he gets it out.
Bob Ramsey and the Hall of Famer Earl Austin Jr. last night or yesterday afternoon as the Billikens took on Rhode Island. Let's go to the guest line, and our coach of St. Louis University is Josh Schertz, and he's brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri. Coach, good afternoon, good morning, or wherever you may be, but more importantly, congratulations on a big win for you last night.
Thanks, Clay. Appreciate it. It was a good win for us. Needed, you know, had a rough stretch there. You know, I dropped a couple in a row and had some chance to win them. Didn't quite get it done. And so to have that break, had 8 days where we didn't play a game, kind of reset, refocus, and thought had one of our better games of the season yesterday. Great crowd as well, which really helped. Had 8,000 in there, which was fantastic.
I want to ask you about pushing the reset button during the season. You guys are kind of chewed up with injuries already. Do you think that's something you'd probably like to build into your schedule a little bit more, where you'd have maybe a few more days off in season just to make sure you can keep your guys healthy and fresh?
Yeah, you know, I do. I thought, you know, those bye weeks are invaluable. We had one really early where we probably didn't need it, you know, after we won, you know, we were 3-0 and had a bye week going into VCU. Our second bye couldn't have come at a better time. As you said, you know, we've been beat up. We've been beat up since the beginning of the season. You know, we've been without really, you know, four of our guys. And, you know, that all happened by basically December 1st. So, you know, the guys that are playing have had to log a lot of minutes. And certainly I think as much as there's physical fatigue, I thought there was a mental fatigue, you know, as we got to the end of that stretch. We were able to give guys a couple days away, and then maybe the biggest benefit of the bye week was to have, you know, four straight days of practice. And you don't normally have that in the season. It was really good for our young guys. I thought our bench had a great week of practice. And then yesterday, you know, season high, 21 points. You know, we got three true freshmen that are playing for us off the bench. Those guys had a great week. And then we're able to translate that into the game. Amari McCautry, Dylan Warlick, Max Picard. Thought those guys were outstanding yesterday. By far, their best performances of the season in terms of, you know, a team win.
You've been at this for a while. You've coached in different places. But is it me or is it the home court advantage certainly being challenged? Because we're seeing teams going on the road, going into some tough places. And not only giving the home team all they can handle, but sometimes walking out with a victory. Where do you think that's all changed? Because home court isn't what it used to be with regard to reliability.
Yeah, and it has changed. You know, I think it is not easier on the road, but you're seeing more teams do it. I've always thought that, you know, whatever the sport, you know, good teams can win anywhere. You know, if you're good, you know, as you know, in terms of what you're doing, you know, good teams can win anywhere. And, you know, that I don't think has changed. But I do agree that you're seeing more teams, you know, have success away from home. Could be a variety of things, I think, you know.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Claiborne here, and we are at the Stiefel Sports Studio in Jupiter, Florida, where the Cardinals take on the Houston Astros here in about an hour or so. And we'll be here with Ricky Horton and John Rooney as the Redbirds go after game 2 of their spring training schedule. Came up a little short yesterday, as you heard Matt Pauley talking about. But as I mentioned earlier, the players that you expected to see or you think will contribute this year, they all did their jobs well yesterday, especially the pitching. The guys who you might want to see in 2027, well, they have some work to do, and it's early, so anything can happen. So we'll see how things unfold with Houston, who lost both games. They had a split squad yesterday. So the Cardinals have a lead on the Houston Astros right now because they're 0-2 and we're just 0-1. If you keep track of those things, and if you know anything about spring training, you never put too much into the records because these games change on a dime with regard to pitching and guys not able to throw strikes. I mean, we get a lot of walks down here, and we get them a lot earlier than what we used to. So be careful in how you judge scores, especially the first 2 weeks of the spring training schedule. A lot of things going on yesterday. We mentioned the Cardinals. Blues lose last night in overtime. St. Louis U wins. City plays to a scoreless tie. We'll visit with Lutz here in just a bit. Missouri, they go down to Arkansas, and it didn't go well there. They come up short. And also Illinois just got the brakes beat off of them by Duke, who must be really, really good. Umpsa won last night. They won 6 in a row. Webster lost to Fontbonne last night. So I'm trying to cover everyone on the local front. So those are the basketball scores. But having thought about this, and I don't know if it's just me, but my head's starting to spin trying to figure out who's really good anymore. Because, you know, when in doubt, you would say, well, that's Kansas. That's Duke. You know, you always give them that credibility because of the name of the school, not the names on the back of the jerseys. I don't know if that really applies as much as it used to. And as we were talking to Josh Schertz, you know, home court, you know, that's almost gone by the wayside. I mean, look at Missouri and the places that they've gone into this year and beat some good teams. They've been a top five team in Florida in their own backyard. We've seen some good teams come in and play St. Louis U, and St. Louis U normally has a reasonably tough environment to play in.
But there were some teams that have come in and have found a way to eke out a win. And I see it more and more around the country. Throw in the fact that unless you are really immersed into that program, do you really know who half these guys are? Because they change up so much with the NIL and going into the portal and the coaches move around. It is really hard to put an arm around a program if you're not with them at the start of practice. Because you look at guys now and you can hear the broadcasters when they describe an individual. He was playing here last year. You know, he wasn't here. And I don't know where that leads us. Obviously, the NIL and the portal have been maybe the most epic game changers in the history of college sports. And I don't know what you do from there. But something's got to change because you can't keep up this pace. You'll eliminate more programs in some schools and just say, you know what, we're good. And then somebody says, well, wait a minute. We don't know if we want to give this up because we have enough documentation that tells you that when you have a successful national program, it does wonders for your enrollment. If you don't think so, go ask them at Columbia, Missouri, when Missouri's basketball team, football team are playing well. And this year it looks like both those teams, Missouri was already in a bowl game, and it looks like Missouri's basketball team is going to be in the tournament. What happens if Missouri's basketball team gets two rounds in? And it just always comes back to enrollment. You know, enrollment is what drives the bus. So with that said, you have to think about, okay, how can we maintain this standard? There's a lot of money being thrown into this. And the TV money does you well. There's no doubt about it. And if you don't have good booster support, now you have to have people who want to contribute to NIL. That's a whole other set of issues with regard to who and how you're going to secure money for all these things. And then you get into the bidding war with the player because everybody else knows that he's a good player and they think they have something to offer also. I think the only way I can put it is it's a mess. And I don't know how it's going to be remedied in the near future. Although I will say this. Before this is all said and done, I can promise you there will be some legitimate federal legislation trying to reel this thing back in, because every state has a different contract. There's no boilerplate. There's no what if. It's a mess, and it will take literally and perhaps an act of Congress to get this thing manageable. And the sad thing about it is the only people to blame are the NCAA. They had a chance to do something about this 20 years ago, and they just kept pillaging, doing things they knew were wrong, and somebody sued them, another suit comes around, and all of a sudden they're on their heels. I mean, I don't think I can. The NCAA winning in court, I think only the Washington Generals, who face the Harlem Globetrotters, have a worse record right now, and everybody knows it. So the NCAA really doesn't have the teeth that it used to. By the way, have you ever heard of a person being academically ineligible anymore? I mean, there's so many things that we don't even talk about with regard to how the NCAA used to do business that is almost comical, and you really ask yourself the question, what is your true purpose now? You know, what do you do well that justifies your existence? I wonder if Elon Musk is going to, send them an email and see, ask them what did they do for the last couple of days. But it's something that we need to kind of look at, and I have to think some real frank conversations have to take place after this basketball season, because you can't keep this up. You cannot. So we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to switch up. We're going to talk some soccer. St. Louis City was in action last night. It was the home opener. I understand it was a little chilly at Energizer Stadium, but we're going to talk with their manager, Luce Van Steel. We're going to talk with him in just a bit about his ball club and just find out, is this season a little too long? We'll find out more when we come back here on Campbell X. Welcome back, everyone. We are here at Jupiter, Florida. I'm Mike Claiborne. Cardinals and Houston Astros getting together here in just about a half hour or so. But we're going to talk some soccer, as St. Louis City SC was in action last night. It was the home opener, and their manager is Luce Van Steel. And Luke, it's always good to visit with you, sir. How are you this morning?
Mike, I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I'm a little warmer than you, but other than that, I have no other complaints. And I know you have to be happy about the fact that while you didn't get the win, shutting a team out from a shot perspective is something that you normally don't see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 18 shots for us, two for them. I think five of us, six on target and zero. So it was pretty clear when it comes to stats. It was that we dominated the game. We had more possession. We created decent chances. You know, I was not 100% happy with the 100% chances we created, but we had a lot of half chances. Overall, it was a good start. I think we played a good game. But what matters is in the end of the day that you score, and creating chances is one thing, finishing them is another. And it would have been, of course, much better to start with a win. However, having a 0-0 against a team which qualified for the playoffs last year, I think it was a decent start, not more, not less, and now we need to focus on the next game.
I know that scoring was a shortcoming for your club last year, and you've been busy this offseason. What do you like about your offense this season as we start this year?
Yeah, when we changed basically everything offensively last summer, you know, in the end of July, when we had lots of players came in, Marcel Hartl, Cedric Teucher, Simon Becker, they all had an immediate impact. And, of course, that's the players we are counting now on as well. Cedric Teucher, unfortunately, couldn't start the game yesterday, just coming back from Germany, collecting his green card, which is great for us as a franchise. So I'm not really too worried about that we won't be able to score goals. I think we have enough firing power up there with Klaus, Simon Becker, Hartl, Teucher, plus Silvio Pompeu, who's back from injuries. You know, there is a lot of guys who can create, a lot of guys who are able to finish chances. But then again, to be fair, new coach, a bit of a different playing style, a bit of a, not a different philosophy, but a bit of a different formation. So it takes a few weeks to really get that all understood and gelled. So we had a good preseason, Mike, and I think what we saw yesterday so early in the season was something we can build up on.
You know, Lutz, when you put a team together, obviously you look at their skill set, but I'm sure when it comes to character and coachable players, that has to be a factor, especially when you have players that are coming from all over the world.
Yeah, that's for me one of the big things, Mike. You know, that's something also with the ownership is very particular about. So when I started the job, I said I don't need a team where we have a lot of show ponies with bad characters who running up and down and think they're the best thing since sliced bread. I want to have players who have character, who have mentality, who playing as a team players. And to have that one or two individual superstars never really makes a team. Football is a team sport. Football is a team where you have to work for each other and with each other. And I think it's very important that you have guys out there where you know they're not just good footballers, but they're also good human beings, good characters in the locker room. And that's what actually brings you together much quicker than just focus on one or two top individual quality players who do not have a great character.
Lutz Vanisteel is our guest here on KMOX. Lutz, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I've never stood outside for a football match when it was 32 degrees, so I don't know about you, but what's the worst weather conditions you've ever experienced in your profession of soccer?
I mean, I played for a long time in Scandinavia, and trust me, yesterday was a sunny evening compared to Scandinavia in the winter. I also played in Calgary, and not when the Calgary Flames played indoors. We played outdoors at, I can tell you in Celsius, minus 27. I don't know how much is that in Fahrenheit, but definitely minus as well.
Cold?
I think
that's all we need to know,
yeah,
just cold.
Very cold, and I think it was actually nice yesterday. I thought it was crispy, it was fresh. I don't think people were literally freezing to death. They all looked pretty awake after the game and during the game. You know, I thought the way yesterday, if you looked at the pre-match ritual we had with the lights and everything, it was an amazing game opener, season opener, I think, for the fans as well. The only thing we couldn't provide was a goal, and that, I think, was the only bad news yesterday. Everything was pretty good.
Yeah, you had a pretty good run with the exception of that, for sure. You know, one of the things about MLS is the schedule. I mean, and as we're learning here in St. Louis, it's a long season. From where you sit, understanding how this works in St. Louis, if there was something you would do scheduling-wise, you know, with the league, what might it be? Would you shorten things? Would you try to have more home games at a certain time of the year? Would you try and play games in more warm-weather cities earlier in the year? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's one very simple answer, Mike. You know, we just have to switch from a normal calendar, which is January or February till December, we have to switch into a FIFA calendar, which means you start playing in July or August, you're playing through till December, you have a little break, then you finish the season in the end of May, like all the European countries do. I think actually get that calendar adjusted to the European countries makes it also easier to do good transfers, to do bigger transfers on the European market in the best leagues in the world. I think that would give MLS another push in the right direction. But right now, it is what it is. You know, we're playing from February till October, November. If you make the final till December, that's what was done with MLS all the way. And we just have to do what we have to do. As I said, we didn't freeze to death yesterday. Everything was okay. And we need to do what the schedule is right now. So that's fine. But obviously, looking into a different calendar would be something to think about.
Lutz, what do you look like schedule-wise for your upcoming games?
Well, next week, a really big one. You know, we're going to San Diego. So that's the new expansion team, the new kids on the block, a team which you do not know what you get. I mean, we watched them in preseason, but they are brand new. I remember that 2 years ago when we played our first game, the hype we had down, it was still called City Park, was amazing. You know, I think it is the biggest game for San Diego to open the account at home next week against us. And then we have another easy one coming up when we go into LA Galaxy, which are the current champions. So two trips to California, both very, very difficult. But again, let's be positive. Let's believe in what we have in our players and look forward to these next two challenges.
Now, in that situation, playing back-to-back weeks out in California, would you just stay out there or would you come back home and try and get some practice in?
No, St. Louis is such a beautiful city, you know, down at our facility. I think that's where we want to work. So we fly out there, play our game, come back and get prepared again in St. Louis to fly out to L.A. We stayed now in California for basically 2 weeks for our preseason before for 10 days in Florida. So I think we've been away for a long time now, especially the players away from the kids and from the families. So I think it's good for us to go back home between the games.
All right. Well, Lutz, as always, it's good to visit with you. I'll see you either at a game or at a Blues game or a Cardinal game. You are one of the great sportsmen.
I'll probably see you at a Blues game again, for sure.
There you go. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. All Lutz, right, as always, it's great to visit with you. Best of luck this season, and let's stay healthy and have some fun.
Thanks, my friend. Have a nice Sunday.
All right, you take care. Lutz Von Steele is our guest. He is the sporting manager for St. Louis City SC. And when we come back, we'll have a chance to talk some baseball with the president of baseball operations. His name is John Mozeliak, as the Cardinals and the Houston Astros will come your way at the top of the hour, game two of their exhibition season. And Miles Michaelis will get the ball. I'll run down the lineup for you real quick. It'll be Victor Scott leading off. He'll be in center field. Alec Burleson will be at first. Nolan Gorman will be at second base with Lucan Baker, the designated hitter. Pedro Pajes is going to be behind the plate. Thomas Ejasie gets a start at third base with J.J. Weatherholt, the Cardinal first-round pick of 2024. He will get the start at shortstop. Matt Kupierniak, who had a pretty good game yesterday, he will be in left field. Ricardo Vlade will be in right field. And Miles Michaelis will be on the mound for the Cardinals. And he will be assisted by a number of pitchers out of the Cardinal bullpen this afternoon. Let's hope the back end of the bullpen is a little bit better than they were yesterday, and we can stay. We don't have to be here all day. But you know what? It's baseball, and it happens. And this is a time of the year where when it does happen, you get it because the weather's good and you have a good environment and you're watching people develop as they get themselves ready to get to the big leagues someday. We'll take a break from the Stiefel Niklaus Stiefel Sports Studio. It used to be Stiefel Niklaus, and here on KMOX. As we are at Roger Dean Stadium, we call it sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Welcome back. We're here at Roger Dean Stadium. The Stiefel Sports Studio is where you'll find us here at Roger Dean. Cardinals and the Houston Astros will be set to do battle here in just a bit. And for the Redbirds, pretty interesting lineup. And we talked to Ollie yesterday about how he's going to try and stagger the lineup. The Cardinals have a home game tomorrow, and then they're on the road for two. They go over to Dunedin to take on the Blue Jays of Toronto, and then they'll have the New York Yankees before they come back on Thursday. So they're trying to make sure guys get enough opportunities to get some at-bats,
see some real pitching. So they'll flip-flop. They'll send two different teams over there on each day. And they'll make that drive across Alligator Alley and go over there and do some business. And on the other hand, they'll have some guys that will stay back and work on some things. You know, there was a time when you would have these games, you had to take X amount of professionals, guys with big league experience. They've kind of relaxed that rule. So sometimes when you have teams that come from the other side of the state, there's a lot of guys you don't recognize. And that sometimes is a little bit of an unfortunate situation, especially for fans who come down and they want to see big leaguers play. That's not always the case when you travel across the state. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in the meantime, we welcome to KMOX, the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Mo, thank you for joining us. Camp is underway. I know it's early. Give me your thoughts from how things started to where we are now.
Well, I think the good news is right now everybody appears healthy from that standpoint, getting in their work, which is always good this time of year. You know, obviously yesterday's game, I think not a lot to take away from it other than both sides could use to throw more strikes. You know, obviously, when you're looking at the pitchers that we needed to perform well, did. And then some of the younger guys kind of sprayed the zone a little bit. But, you know, ultimately, it's fun that we've sort of changed our pace now from just the workouts to now actual baseball games. So that part's exciting. And now it's really about just getting into that routine and you know, making sure that everyone feels good about where they are. And, you know, ultimately we got to see what we look like as a club, who's performing well, because there are going to be some tough decisions at some point. And, you know, whether it's, you know, roster decisions or whether it's playing time decisions, but all those things we have the next 3 to 4 weeks to work through.
There is competition at a few positions on your team. What position do you think the toughest decisions will have to be made?
Well, I think, you know, right now, what's our outfield going to look like when we break camp? You know, obviously, there's two schools of thought here. Do we go with a more offensive outfield, or do we go with more of a defensive outfield? And so those decisions, I think, will be made as we get closer to opening day, but that's something to watch for. And then in terms of how we balance out Contreras' usage at first base versus DH, that'll be something that we have to work through. And some of these answers may come as we, you know, evolve into the season, but as you look at this camp, that's certainly something of note. And then, of course, you know, roles in the bullpen. Obviously, Helsley has a you can call him our closer, but then in terms of like how we set up 6, 7, 8 is still TBD. So that'll be fun to watch.
You know, when you think about your pitching, a good team, you know, with injuries and maybe other issues that come along the way, you realistically need somewhere between 18 and 19 pitchers that are going to be able to pitch for you during the course of the season. So what you see now that doesn't make the roster, there's a pretty good chance you're going to see that pitcher somewhere down the road?
Oh, I think that's for sure. You know, ultimately, I think the key, too, is, like, we have some younger pitchers competing for jobs here, and the question might be, like, how do we think about their role versus pitching in a starting role, for example, at Memphis? And that's just some of the things that, you know, when you think about decision-making, that'll have to be something we think through. You know, ultimately, you're trying to do two things. One is you're trying to give yourself a good chance out of the gate with your club, but you're also trying to wear that hat of the long view of making sure the players that you're using or not using are developing, because Cardinals are definitely wanting to get themselves back into winning ways on a consistent level. And that's not just about 2025, but it's also about future years. And so that'll be something that we think through as we try to have the right answers moving forward.
You know, I had a conversation with Bernie Miklas earlier with regard to how this organization looks. And while people who have not seen spring training and they say, well, the Cardinals aren't spending any money, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, I'm seeing an investment in some other areas with regard to resources and certainly development, whether it's coaches, equipment, things of that nature. How many new faces do we have in spring training compared to years past?
Boy, I don't know that answer offhand, but total new faces to baseball operations, I think, is right around 19 or 20. In other words, there are some people that will end up joining this camp when minor league camp opens. So not everybody's here yet, but, you know, I think as we get into late February, early March, there'll be a few more faces added to this. But, you know, look, we are looking at the infrastructure of our operation where we can, you know, really squeeze more on the margins, whether it's trying to get our pitchers to do more with what they have or add a pitch. There's a lot of like internal discussions on just like, how do we make players better? And, you know, there are systematic ways to do that. And I think, you know, this group that we've brought in is very strategic in that. It's not to say we weren't trying to do that before, but we can be a much more intentional because we have a lot more people to help in that.
We saw the ABS implemented yesterday on a big league level. Were you in the pool that had Nootbaar being the first guy to do it, to challenge it?
You know, I wasn't in any pool, but that feels right.
But if you were yeah, in a pool.
You know, like, yeah, I mean, if you think about, like, a guy that, you know, worked 3-2 counts is probably about as well as anybody in baseball, that he knows his strike zone. So I like it. I know it's not going to be implemented in 2025, but I hope fans find it as compelling as I do, and I think it's something that you watch AAA baseball, and it doesn't disrupt the flow of the game. It's nice to get it accurate, and there are key situations where it is very impactful if you can take a ball to a strike or a strike to a ball.
If only Matt Carpenter were around.
Right?
Could you imagine
he'd be another guy. Yeah.
Exactly. Those two together. It was very painless and seamless yesterday, and that was the one thing I was concerned about: how long would this take? And you know what, we had guys that had a harder time throwing strikes than we were able to determine what a strike was, and if that's the direction that it's going to go, I don't think people will have a big problem with it.
I agree. Only thing they could do differently here is, like, don't sound that alarm. That was a little loud, like
it was startling. That's what it was.
They need to clean that up.
Exactly. I would wholeheartedly agree with you. All right, Mo. Well, listen, we have another game today. Final question for you. When you watch a spring training and watch your ball club, do you break it down in segments with regard to evaluation? Because what we see on the first day is not what it's going to look like the last day. And how do you measure someone's ascension or decline?
Yeah, so typically when I'm watching a game, I do have access to a lot of the TrackMan data that's being collected that day, that's instant. And so you have a sense of where people are from arm strength standpoint, velocity standpoint, spin standpoint. So that's always intriguing. But I'm also, like, focusing more on, like, more of, like, the second half of the game with more interest on trying to get to know some of these younger players that I'm not as familiar with as, say, like, today's starter, Miles Michaelis. And so I really do try to take advantage of the access we get to those younger players. And as you know, from time to time, you'll see me on the backfield, even when a major league game's going on in spring training, just because it's so convenient. It's, you know, you don't have to travel for it. And so certainly want to take advantage of our location and really maximize our time that way.
Well, Mo, as always, it's great to visit with you. We thank you for your time, and let's have a nice, quick, clean game today, and we'll figure out tomorrow when it gets here.
All right, that sounds great. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, sir. Take care. That's John Mozeliak. When we come back, the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, is coming your way. You don't want to miss that right here on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We are here in the Stiefel Sports Studio here at Roger Dean Stadium. And, of course, you're listening to all of this great programming on your voice for the Cardinals, Blues, and City. KMOX. We continue with Sports on a Sunday Morning from Jupiter, Florida, here at Roger Dean Stadium, where the Cardinals will take on the Houston Astros in their second game of their spring training schedule. I'm Mike Claiborne, and speaking of baseball, we're going to have an interview we had a chance to visit with the Hall of Famer. Anytime you can catch up with Ozzie Smith, you always feel like you're a little smarter after the conversation is over, and this was no different, as we had a chance to visit with the Wizard. How many spring trainings have you been to?
Man, I don't know, Mike. I lost count a long time ago. And, you know, I missed some there for about a 10-year span. But, you know, I was able to get back. And it's always nice to be able to come out here, and especially coming off of winter where it might be cold and snowy or rainy. And this Florida sunshine is always nice.
It is humbling to be here, knowing what it can be like in other parts of the country. And just the fact that everybody gets together, they've seen each other for the first time in a long time, and they're talking ball, having fun. And we have such a new crop of young players, mm-hmm. although they've been in the big leagues, yeah. but they still want to learn the game. And I see when you hold court with these guys, they are paying full attention, and that's got to make you feel good.
Oh, it does. And, you know, it's always nice to be able to share knowledge and stuff with the guys. And, you know, you got some young guys around here like the Sagaces and the Wins and stuff, and it's nice watching them develop as players, and not only as players, but as people as well, you know. So coming down here and being able to spend some time with them, and of course watching some veterans too. I enjoy watching Arenado play. You know, he's going through some things here with the organization, but he's always been a fun player to watch. And I think that situations like this for players like him, you know, the one thing that we can control as players is how we play.
Yeah. And the fact is, he's a pro.
He's a pro.
And he understands that, you know, when it's all said and done, you still have to come out here and play baseball.
That's right. Exactly. And control what you can control, and all those other things will work themselves out.
For you, coming to a spring training, how important was it for you as a player and then as a retiree? How important was that to be part of an organization that has you in, and the fact that these young players look to you? You were looking at older players when you were playing the game. How important is it, though?
It's important. You know, the transition from a regular, everyday player to becoming, you know, one of those people that people look up to should have been a natural transition, which it wasn't for me. And, you know, I had that gap in between there. But, you know, it's really been nice being able to get back and do what you love to do, you know. And I love the game. The game has always been a part of my life, you know.
It is your life.
You eat it, you sleep it, you breathe it and stuff. And it's nice to be able to share that with people, because you never get away from it. You know, you take some time off, but you never get away from it. And so I'm just trying to enjoy the time that I have down here. And as I said, watching these guys develop as players, and, you know, just share as much as you possibly can with them. And hopefully something that you say clicks with them, and allows them to be able to go out and do what it is that they're doing.
You've always had a keen eye recognizing young players. This year, who do you like? Who do you keep an eye on a little closer that you've had a chance to see? And who are some of the guys you've seen that have grown into being a big leaguer?
You know, Brendan Donovan has really been a pleasant guy to watch. Alec Bertelson, I think, has done. When you look at Alec, you don't think, well,
he doesn't have the baseball look.
Well, it doesn't have that look, but I tell you what, he's been very impressive with how he's been able to play the outfield. And I had a chance to visit with him the other day, and you know, he came up as an infielder. You know,
he's a pitcher too.
Yeah, so he's a good athlete. It's much like
we're talking about Alec Burleson,
yeah,
who's
right
just
there. Yeah, yeah, you know, like Big Daddy. You know, big. You remember Big Daddy? He was Big Daddy. But Big Daddy was one of those people that didn't have an athletic body, but
Rick Rusher.
Yes. But he was very athletic. You know, it was one of those guys that was tough to bunt on. You know, he had good feet, was quick, and just very athletic. And he reminds me a lot of that. You know, when you look at him, and the way he goes about it every day, you know what you're going to get. He gives you all he has every time out, and that's all you can ask for.
Give me a guy that you're going to keep an eye on this year.
Well, you know, the one guy that we talked about earlier, Sagaci, I think has a chance to be a good big league ball player. He's a guy that asks a lot of questions. He asks a lot of the right questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ask questions, but you got to ask a lot of the right ones. And the one thing that you always look for from a young player, well, any player really, is his work ethic. And if a player that has talent has good work ethic, it'll work out. Well, I'm standing next to one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. And, you know, hopefully that's contagious as well, because when one guy sees you doing it, then they might want to do it. And that's something that if we have enough of those guys walking around, you never have to police yourself.
That's right. You know, and it makes it easy on the managers, too. Mm-hmm. You know, when your best player is your hardest worker. And, you know, they've got some guys around here. The other thing, too, before we go here, Mike, is Contreras is moving to first base. And I watched him take some ground balls over there. He looks like a natural. You know, yeah. He looks like he's more comfortable playing over there. And, of course, you know, time will tell. But from my observation right here, right now, I think he's going to do well over there.
So you're not going to lose sleep overnight thinking about whether he can play or not?
No, no. I think that, you know, watching him take ground balls, he's got pretty good feet for a big mm-hmm. guy. And, you know, he came in a little bigger. He got
a little?
Yeah, he got
we might have found a rubber suit. Yeah. I don't know if they have any of those left.
But no, I think he's going to be all right over there. And I think now that he doesn't have to worry about calling pitches and stuff, it's going to ease his mind a little bit. And it'd be fun to watch his development.
You know, I'm anxious to see how he looks at the game from that position. As far as how pitches are called and what he would do in that situation and how he positions himself. I think it's going to be a fun experiment that's going to turn out okay.
Yeah, I think we talk about it as an experiment, but I don't think it's that big of an experiment. I don't think it's that much of a stretch to have him go over there and perform. You know, one of the things that I look at from a player's perspective is you know, how's his feet? You know, and he's got good feet, and it's your feet that put you in a position to be able to make a play. So I think he's going to be okay.
Man, it's great to have you here. Make this a lifelong tradition. Sure, just hanging out here. Thanks, man. It's always great to have the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith.
There you have it, Ozzie Smith. They don't make him any better, folks. And the way he is received down here, not only by the fans, but certainly the players who truly have come to appreciate him. And his kindness is something that shouldn't go unnoticed. And so we thank Ozzie for visiting with us and certainly continuing to be the great Cardinal that he is. Speaking of Cardinals, here come the Cardinals in just a bit. It'll be the Redbirds, Houston Astros, Ricky and John with the call. And we will talk to you later in the week.